This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 12. You need to know that we're in this new series called Faith's Journey, Letting God Take You Somewhere, and it's all about the life of Abraham and the lessons that we learn about faith and allowing God to move us ahead in the journey that He has for us. So, we're going to spend the next 8 weeks doing that, seeing what God's going to take us. So let's pray, ask the Lord to help us. Father, come and anoint Your word. I'm so cognizant, Lord, that it's not my words, it's Your word. So let the Holy Spirit be active to do what needs to be done in our lives today. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You know, for 25 years, in our garage, up in the attic, I kept a little cardboard box. And in that cardboard box was something quite meaningful to me. It contained all the materials, all the lesson plans from my 2 years of teaching high school English that I did right out of college. And you see, I started life as an English teacher, and I did it for 2 years, and I got out of college, and I went to a neat town in the Northwest here, and I was looking forward to a comfortable life of teaching high school students. It was going to be fun, and in 2005, I would have retired. With 30 good years of teaching behind me, you know. But something happened to me. Over a period of time, in 1977, over a period of months, God began to speak to Naomi and I. My path as a school teacher didn't look so clear anymore. It didn't look so secure. And what happened was an opportunity came up to do evangelism through drama and music. And so, believe it or not, over a period of months, we began to pray, and this opportunity looked like what God wanted us to do. It was just six of us quit our jobs and started writing drama and music and started touring with it for evangelism. And over a period of months, God began to speak to Naomi and I and said, no, I want you to do this. So resign your teaching job and take this job. Now, I want you to know something. All of a sudden, the whole course of my life was changed, because once I got into ministry, I never went back to teaching. After doing that drama ministry, I got into pastoral ministry, did a couple of seminary degrees. A few years later, I helped start a church called Lighthouse Christian Center. It just all kind of snowballed into where God was taking me. And when I think about those lesson plans, though, that I kept for all so many years, I think of them as a reminder that when you let Him, God will take you somewhere in faith. And He will have a plan for your life, and you can move with Him. Now, about 7 or 8 years ago, something happened. I got that box of lesson plans down, and I went through all the material, and I looked at all the mimeos. Some of you remember mimeos? I looked at all of those, and I just said, wow, this was not the journey God had for me. And I threw them all away. I don't know why I kept them for 25 years, but I did. You know, that what we're talking about this weekend relates to all of this, and it's quite simple. Let the Lord take you somewhere in faith. Get on board the faith journey that God has for you. Listen, He's got a spiritual road trip or road trips for you planned. Believe me, that is true. In other words, hearing God's plan for you and moving in His direction is what you need to do. And when you do, guess what? God will do something in you, and He will do something through you. And as long as we're walking on the planet here, God continues to have plans for our lives. He wants to take us somewhere. He wants us to discover what He wants to do in our lives. And can it be a little scary? Yeah, sometimes. It's like, you know, going on a screwy film school trip. I don't know. That could be scary. It's not always the most secure thing to do, but wow, is it wonderful to see God at work, to obey Him, to do things His way. What we're going to be doing this next 8 weeks is looking at the life of Abraham, and we're going to try to get some clues as to what it means to walk in faith, what it means to go on the faith journeys that he has for us, and we're going to try to understand and respond to God's voice in faith and serve God in exactly that way. Now, for this whole series, I want to thank Warren Wiersbe's little book. He has a little commentary on Genesis, and also Pastor Jack Hayford's got a great book on the life of Abraham. Now, this weekend, then, let's look at five realizations that will help us allow God to take us where He wants us to go. And I want you to know that this first realization I'm going to spend my most time on, so don't think when I come to point two, oh no, we got another 2 hours here, okay? This point one is kind of where is the main point. But you find it in Genesis 12:1, and the realization is just simply this. This is my longest point. God wants you to say yes to His voice regardless of objections. Look what it says in verse 1 of chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. What's God saying to Abraham? Abraham, I've got a little road trip planned for you. Start packing. And that's exactly what Abram did in Genesis 12, is he heard God's voice, he responded to it in faith, and you see it right here in verse 4, look what it says. Abram departed as the Lord instructed him. So what did it take for Abram to depart? What did it take? That's the question. What did it take for Abraham to begin this journey with God? You know what it took? One simple word. It took faith. So faith is often the key to going where God wants us to go, to doing what God wants us to do. Now, let me define faith a little bit for you. You're going to see it here in this scripture. One definition of faith that I think is consistent with this passage is simply this: responding to God's voice with obedience, regardless of feelings or circumstances or consequences. To hear the direction that He has for you, to say, okay, yes, Lord, I want to get involved with wherever You're taking me, get involved with this ministry, get involved in this giving that You have going for me, or quitting my job and going over here, or doing this, again, this film school deal, whatever it is. You might have some feelings of anxiety about it. Okay, you might. But you do it. You might wonder if your present circumstances really warrant this decision, but you do it. You might wonder what the consequences ultimately are going to be, but you do it. One writer that I read this week said this: faith is not believing in spite of evidence. It is obeying in spite of consequence. You know, so it's not blind faith. Abraham believed he'd heard from God, right? So it wasn't blind faith. He believed what he heard. Faith begins, though, as it does here, when God speaks. And we're not told how in Genesis God spoke to Abram. We're not aware of that, but we do know how He speaks today. We know that if we read His Word, the Holy Spirit touches our mind and heart, and He can speak to us. We know that even apart from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can speak to us and say, "I want you to go this direction." We know that there are people in our lives who can say to us, "You know, Art, I've been praying and God has been speaking to me about you. And here's what He's saying." And then when we hear it, something clicks in here. We go, "They're right. The Holy Spirit is saying that to me." See, when God speaks His plans into our minds and hearts, and when we respond in faith, guess what happens? The journey begins. Aha! We're on that spiritual road trip with God. Now, most of the time, it's not going to involve really any travel at all. That is any literal travel. This is a metaphor, I think you know. But it is going to entail going somewhere spiritually. It's going to require us somehow to believe God, to act in faith. And then when we do, guess what happens? God does a work in us, and then he does a work through us. And many times the work in us is just as important as anything he's doing out there. You know, I told you that we started this drama ministry. You know what? In 3 years, we recorded 120 confessions for Christ. That's 3 years of our lives. Billy Graham had that in 30 minutes. Why did he need us to go 3 years for that? But guess why? Because God has had as much to do in us as he had to do out there. And so often a faith journey is when we're agreeing with God, we're going his direction, he has both things. See, that's the key to beginning a road trip with God. It's saying yes. See, God is always, almost always, going to have us on some faith journey. Something we have to believe him for. Something that we're cooperating with him in. And when we agree, guess what happens? We end up seeing God do something. Isn't that pretty exciting? It is for me. You know, our whole pastoral group this week was at our district conference for our denomination. And we heard the story of two pastors. They were there. Two pastors had kind of heard from God about doing something in Iraq. And so they were going to Kurdistan, which is the northern part of Iraq. And what they wanted to do was help start a community center that would teach English. And of course, in teaching English, they would also teach what it meant to know the Lord, too. You know, they'd be able to do that. And so they heard this. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but they heard God say, I want you to go for it. And they felt clearly that God was leading them. So they got on a plane. These guys, they made plans. They got on a plane. And on the plane to Kurdistan, they met a guy, just started talking to him. And the guy needed an interpreter, so they had an interpreter. And after they asked him what they were doing, why are they going to Kurdistan, they told him all about it. And this guy ended up being the deputy governor of Kurdistan. And he said, and listen, I'd like to see you in my office this week. And they came to his office and he said, you know, this is something that we need. How can I help you? And he helped them during this whole process of beginning this whole community outreach. Listen, guys, think about it. When we start saying yes to Jesus, we start saying yes to the faith journey he has us on, that's when we begin to see God at work. You know, that's when we see him do something. Now, certainly God could ask all of us to do pretty dramatic things in our lives, but I'm going to say it doesn't even matter because spiritual road trips come in all different sizes and shapes and durations and all variations. Well, what are some typical faith journeys that God has us on? What are some typical faith journeys? Well, how about the journey simply of sacrifice? God is asking us to give up something that we don't really want to give up. How about the journey of service? That he might ask you to get involved with your time and with your effort in a way that, man, you maybe wouldn't have done yourself. How about the journey of forgiveness where God is saying to you, listen, that husband, that wife, that friend that you hold that kernel of bitterness toward, I want you to do the right thing. You come with me. You do what I'm asking you to do. See what I'll do through you and in you as a result. How about the journey of healing? Where God is asking us to believe him for healing. How about the journey of not getting healed? Is that a faith journey too? No doubt about it. And the number one thing that we need as we begin whatever road trip God has us on, guess what? Just agree with God in faith. Just like it says there, I love this. Like Abraham, you quote, depart as the Lord instructed. I love that phrase. That's what we've got to do. So let's examine this thing. Let's just ask, if obedience is so key to taking the faith the journey, what are the objections that we might have to such obedience? What are they? Well, guys, do you realize that most of us do have objections? Are you aware of that? And some of them, sometimes they're really legitimate. I think about Nam and I, when we started that drama ministry, we were in our 20s, and I got this teaching job. It was a great teaching job. They were hard to come by. I always thought about, what did Naomi's father think about his daughter being taken into this screwy faith ministry thing when he had a good job? And I think sometimes, you know, I mean, is that a legitimate objection? Hey, it was. Hey, you need a job. And yet, you know, there it was. So we have all kind of objections in our minds. If we're old, we think we're too old. If we're young, we think we're too young. If we're middle-aged, we just think, I'm tired. Okay? See, there's always a potential objection out there. And it will all often revolve around a feeling. It'll revolve around a circumstance, or revolve around a potential consequence of this decision. And if those things are the things that make us want to not go with God, man, look what could happen here. I think sometimes all of us have this idea that pursuing the will of God, responding to God in faith, is for someone that I'm not. Someone much younger, someone with more skills, someone more talent, someone who has never made a mistake, someone who has no baggage, someone not like me. You see, what was Abraham's potential objection to doing what God was going to tell him? I think there are probably many, but I'll tell you one that was right, it's right here in the text. Abram was 75 years old. Now, why did God... God spoke to him before this, but I mean, here he was at 75, and he's going to take him on a major faith journey. Why didn't he do it when he's 20? Why didn't he do it when he's 30? Come on. And why didn't Abram complain, you know, about his lumbago acting up? Or what you know, hey, God, I was just about to move to Florida here, you know. It's not a convenient time for me. And yet, he goes past this objection. And I'm going to tell you, God is telling us from this passage right from the beginning that age or situation or history or whatever it is, no, doesn't matter. God has a journey for us, and we can respond to Him. God wants us to say yes to Him. And He already knows the objections, but He calls you anyway. He already knows what's going to happen. And yet He said, listen, I want this in your life. You know, there's a man in our church, and I asked him if I could tell you this, who came to me recently, and he wants to promote godly values in what is arguably a godless workplace. And he believes he's hearing from God. He believes that he should take a relatively public and visible stance, not to attack anybody, but to promote a positive and godly approach to diversity in his workplace. And I can think, well, what are the potential objections to a guy like that? He's in a, you know, he's in a workplace. Well, the potential objections are many. What would be the results of that? But I'll tell you one of them that I see. He said, well, am I the guy to really do this? Do I have the talent? Can I speak the way I should speak? Can I write the way I should write? You see, there's always a potential objection to obeying God's voice. And he wants us to use whatever we've got. He wants you to use the skills, whatever we have. And He wants us to believe Him when He talks to us. And He wants us to move in that direction. And guess what? That's the way that God can take you someplace. That's how you are going to begin to hear from God. So the question is, real clearly, are you seeking God's voice in the Scriptures? Are you seeking God's voice by His Spirit? Are you trying to hear where God is taking you? Are you saying, okay, God, I'm open to your plan here? And then are you trying to say, okay, God, now You help me. I want to move in Your direction, and I want to go where You tell me to go. Listen, saying yes is the first issue of going on this road trip that God has for us. And believe me, He will take you to some beautiful spots. He will take you to some beautiful spots, and you'll see Him at work. However, I want you to know something. After we get that realization, we got to know how to go on the trip. And so there's a second realization that you see here in this passage, realizing that a faith journey is all about depending on God, not on yourself. You go, what a relief. Oh, it's about depending on him. Look what it says in chapter 12. Leave your country, your relatives, your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. God said, I will show you. In other words, you know what God was telling Abraham? Abraham, you're going to need me on this trip because I've got the map. Please do not think that you're going to have the map. I've got the map, and you're not going to be able to get there unless you depend upon me. And here's what God, I want you to think of country. See the verse here? I want you to think of country as a reference to all the things that are familiar in our lives. All the things that make us secure in our lives. And what God said to Abram is, leave your country. Leave your security blanket. Leave what you depend on. You cling to me. You depend upon me. Because I'm going to one who's going to get you through this faith journey. Listen, when we are willing to make that move that God is asking us, it may probably leave us feeling a little insecure. But it's often, get this, it is often a time when you meet God in a new way. It's often a time when you find out more about God and more about yourself. Why? Because you have to be totally dependent on him. When you can't do it on your own, you know you can't do it on your own. You can't fall back on your own skills. You can't say, I know exactly what to do. So when God calls you to do something in faith, when he says to you, listen, here's the direction I want for you, and you may not like it even. It may wrench you away from what's been comforting and what's been secure, but I want you to do it. And when God asks you something and he takes you on that journey, part of that journey is for you to find your security in him, not in yourselves. Because isn't it true that we can all be very self-sufficient at times? Isn't that true? We know what to do to get things done. When God asks something of you, he wants you to know that, yeah, it may be uncomfortable. That's okay. You know, I know a couple of families over the last few years here at Lighthouse, and God has spoken to them about being foster parents. And I just think about that. They didn't just say, oh, foster parenting would be a good thing to do. No. These people have come to me and said, you know what? God is speaking to us about being foster parents. Because kids need some parents. They need some people to take care of them. Friends, I want you to know that taking care of foster children is going to require a new level of dependence in these couples' lives. Wouldn't you think upon God? There's just no way that you can do that as believers without a new level of dependence upon God. You leave the familiar and you go where God is taking you, and then God reveals himself in a new way in your heart, and your life has changed because you are willing to go on this faith journey. The dependence I'm talking about often simply means just knowing the next step. Now, I want you to think about that. It often means just knowing the next step. You'd think, if God really wanted us to go on a faith journey, you know what you'd think? You'd think he'd show us the map ahead of time. You'd think that, wouldn't you? I mean, he gives it. And listen, now, first of all, you're going to turn right here. You're going to get on this road. That will lead you to this junction. I hate to tell you, there's going to be a breakdown right there. It's going to be fine. You'll be there a few days. But there is going to be a breakdown. And then you're going to get back on this road. And you'd think he'd do that. But does he ever do that? No. Why? Because he wants you to depend on him for the next step. And here he tells Abram, go to a land I will show you. Start now. I'll show you where you're going later. In other words, I'll take you on the next step. So what attitude do we have to become aware of God's will? We have to have this attitude that Abraham had. It's described in Hebrews 11:8. Look what it says. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. Where are you going there? God told me. That's it. That's the whole thing. Friends, we are in a position of dependence. And Abraham didn't know where he was going. He just knew with whom he was going. And that was enough for him. I think that's often why God wants us to use faith, to believe him and to obey, because it puts us in a spot where we can't make it without God's wisdom, without God's guidance, without God's strength, his supernatural hand. Let me give you an example. Some of you are having marriage difficulties right now. Listen, there are 1,800 people who go to this church. There are some couples who are having trouble. That's clear. Some of you, God is saying, I have a faith journey for you, and it involves your marriage. And it involves you learning what it means to love that spouse in a way that would honor me, regardless of what they're doing. Is that a faith journey? No doubt about it. And it's an example of a simple faith journey that God would often have in your life. Listen, I have a plan for you, and that plan is to love your spouse in a way that would honor me. And is it going to take change in your life? It sure is. Are you going to have to depend upon me for the next step? Yeah, all the time. And yet I want you to go that direction. And what happens when you do it? You got to go back to God over and over again. Can you do that journey alone? That marital journey? If you're having trouble, can you do that alone? No way. You got to go back to God over and over and over again. So again, it reminds me of the position of the psalmist in Psalm 131. I love this psalm. Because I've got the whole psalm on your outline there. I'm going to read it to you now. It says this: My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. I'm going to be preaching on this psalm not too long from now, but just talk about submission. Did you see that here? Talk about submission. Lord, I don't have any of the answers. This stuff is just too wonderful for me. But Lord, I'm just here like a little child, and like a little child, I'll just do whatever you tell me to do. Because I'm in total submission to you. Guess what happens? We ask God what to do next. Guess what? He does. He has. He will do exactly that. So, friends, the Lord's calling us. And he is saying, leave your securities, leave your comfort zones, and I'll show you what I can accomplish through your life. And it'll be what I will accomplish, not what you will accomplish. I've got all the resources in the world. I've got, just commit your skill, commit your bank account, commit any resource that you have. And then watch me work. And it's all about depending on me one step at a time. Friends, we will not always be comfortable. We will not. But we will always have the satisfaction of knowing, hey, I'm going where God tells me to go. And look what I'm seeing him do. Now, having said that, let us not think that it will all be smooth sailing. Because look at the third realization here. Realize that your faith journey may be difficult. Sadly. Here it is. Verse 4. So Abram went, as the Lord told him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak at Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. You know, one of the things you got to know traveling through the land of Canaan, the culture of the Canaanites was depraved. Absolutely. And in fact, when this passage says the Canaanites were in the land, it's not just saying the Canaanites lived there. It's making the point that this was an unholy way of life, which permeated the society. I mean, it was bad. Human sacrifice and torture and sexual perversions, you just name it, it was there in Canaan. So here's this dark and evil territory that God is leading Abraham into. Think about it. He finds himself squarely, Abraham does, squarely in the middle of a culture that was really terrible in all respects. Well, one of the things you got to know is this. The writer of Hebrews will say it again, that sometimes the faith journey is not all things bright and beautiful. Sometimes it's something a little different. And in fact, if you look at Hebrews, the passage, the faith chapter, this is further along in the faith chapter. You know, we get one verse. Women, verse 35, women received back their dead, raised to life again. That's the kind of the end of the good news right there. Man, so many great things happen in faith. And then, bam, others were tortured, refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging. Others were chained, put in prison, stoned, sawed in two, put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they were promised. Man, you guys, sometimes the faith journey is a mixed bag here. You got to understand that. Sometimes we think, well, I'm responding to God. It should be good all the time. I mean, I'm doing what God's telling me. Everything should be pleasant. Listen, guys, go ask the apostles Peter, the apostle Paul. Go ask Stephen as he was being stoned for doing the right thing. Just go ask a few people in heaven, what about this faith journey? You're going to find out it's always a mixed bag. Sometimes the circumstances will be a little difficult. Sometimes the consequences of obeying God. Man, it will take something. Have you ever heard God's voice maybe to do something or to be something? And you're on this faith journey and you're doing the best you can. And all of a sudden, the bottom falls out of something in your life. Most of us have experienced that. Well, God, I'm doing this good stuff for you. Look, I'm responding to you. What are you doing over here? What's going on? Listen, it can have people can be mad at you. You can have financial problems. It can be any number of things. You can get sick. God, I'm following you. Why am I sick? It happens all the time. Listen, the difficulty is often part of the faith journey because that's the way God shapes us. That is the way in which he gets us to turn back to him over and over and over again. That's the way somehow that he gets the glory in all of this. Understand that sometimes your journey will take you through Canaan. Sometimes God will even direct you to go through Canaan. And it'll be a little tough when it happens. And sometimes people will even tell you, well, some of your Christian friends, how can you pursue the will of God here? It's so hard. No one else is going to be making the sacrifices that you're making. Listen, friends, it doesn't matter what sacrifices other people are making. Not in the least. It's about what God has asked you to do. And don't ask me why God asks some people to do harder stuff than others. Because he's God and I'm not. But I know this. Each of us as believers, man, we want to respond to the God of the universe. We want to go where he wants us to go. Whether we're in school, whether we're in a job, whether we're in a home. God wants us to respond to his faith journeys. And any time you hear God's voice and start touching lives for him and seeing growth in your own lives, I'm going to just say something. Expect that you might have to spend a little time in Canaan. All right? Get that in your brain because it might just happen. That brings us, however, to a fourth realization. Compromise will always delay this faith journey. Oh, wow. Look what it says in verse 31. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. Wow. And they went together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And the days of Terah were 205 years. Terah died in Haran. Now, to get the commentary on this, you need Acts 7:2. Look what it says in Acts 7. And Stephen said, "Brothers and sisters, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, but before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Go out of your land, from your kindred, go into the land that I will show you.' And then he went out from the land of Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there and into the land in which you're now living." Guys, what this means, at least potentially is what it means, is that Abram got sidetracked a little bit in his faith journey. It could possibly mean that he had compromised a bit. Because what happened here? God spoke to him in Mesopotamia. He called him to go to a land that he would show him. And somehow, what happens? He gets sidetracked. He left his home in Ur. Whole kit and caboodle, they all got up and left. He obeyed. He had a great start. And after all, starting the faith journey is very important. You have to cut loose. You have to start traveling. You have to make arrangements. It's a good thing that happened. That is until he got to Haran. What happened in Haran? Well, we don't know the reason, but they stopped. And here's what's worse. They settled down. See that word, settled down? Man, what happened is they stopped going in the direction somehow that God wanted them ultimately to go. Now, I don't know why he stopped. Maybe it was his Terah, his father, who was an idolater. So maybe he didn't want to travel on anymore. He wanted to stay right there, and Abraham said, okay. But you got to know something. Haran is 500 miles from Ur, but it's still 300 miles from Canaan. So, you know, they went a long way, but they had a long way to go. And what I want to say is this can happen to any of us. At some point, we sort of stall in the zone of hesitation and indecision. We stall in the zone of, oh man, I didn't know it would take this. We stall in the zone of, I don't know, I didn't know it would take this much sacrifice, and we pull up short. And so we're not in Ur, we're not in Canaan. We're in the middle somewhere. But it's okay to be in the middle if you're traveling toward the destination, you know, that's okay. What if we're in the middle and we're stalling out? That is a problem. So maybe you started out with God in some journey of faith. Maybe he was telling you, listen, your journey of faith is to love that spouse in the way that you need to love them. Your journey is to find out what it means to learn how to tithe and give me the first part of your income, because I'm going to bless you through that. Your journey, I mean, you could name journey after journey after journey after journey. And what happens is we get in the middle and it's just a little too harder than we thought, and we stall. And we kind of go our own direction. Maybe we do our own things. Friends, you can die in Haran. You got to know that. And what I mean by that, you can not realize the Lord's greatest purposes in your life if we stall. And so what am I saying? Listen, I know how comfortable it can be in Haran. I do. I know that, you know, it was there. But here's what Abraham did. Obviously, Abraham had this in his mind, because as soon as Terah died, they were on their way, following the voice of God. I think it's the easiest thing in the world to start, go as far in the will of God as though those around you want you to go. Abraham went as far as Terah would let him go. And it's a very easy thing to go only as far in the will of God as others will let you go. You advance. If they advance, you advance. If they stop, you stop. If they coast, you coast. Listen, friends, come on. Let's not do that. Let's go where God wants us to go, regardless of what others are saying or doing. Listen, God's call is for you. The people around you may not be comfortable with it. The people around you may wonder why you're doing it. But it's still your call. And I want you to respond to God. What we got to do is not pull up short of God's destination. And what we've got to do is not compromise in this journey that God has for us. And I think some of you would say, oh yeah, I remember this journey God has me on. I remember it. And I haven't been paying much attention to it recently. God's speaking to you today. One final realization If you commit yourself to doing the will of God, man, he will reveal himself to you in new ways. Look what it says in verse 6 and 7 of chapter 12. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And then verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. The best thing about doing the will of God, hearing from God, and then going that, guess what happens? God reveals himself to you. Does that make sense? He reveals himself to you. And there's a manifestation of his presence in your life. You begin to see, oh, that's who God is. That's how God works. Look what he's doing. And you see it here in Genesis, in the verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram. But you see, Jesus said the same thing in John 14. Look what John 14 says. Whoever has my commands, obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and show myself to him. What does it mean when God shows himself to us or manifests himself, as the ESV says? It, in the original language, just means to appear, to come to view, to make visible. Well, to who does Jesus make himself visible to? To those who've heard his voice, who choose to go in his direction, who in faith follow him and depend upon him. Guess what happens? You see God in new ways. You see him reveal himself in new ways. Let me give you one example. 1999, I went on away on a prayer retreat. And this is one of our core stories here at Lighthouse. And some of you have heard it many times. But you know that I went away on a prayer retreat, and I thought I heard God say, "Art, we need to build a building here. Nobody's going to do it for you. You're going to have to do it." So I went back to our leadership. "Guys, I think the Lord's telling me that we need to build a building. And no one else is going to do it. We've got to do it." And so all the leaders said, "You're right. This is where God has taken us. Let's do it." And so at the time, there was about 300 people in the church. That includes children. So maybe about 250 adults. And we did a 7-week campaign called Time to Build. Where I just asked people to pray. "Would you just think about maybe what God, if God would have you give something to this project?" Guess what? Everybody who heard that had to go on a faith journey. Every single one of them. And they had to say, "Okay, God, what is it you want from me?" And if God spoke to them, they had to go on a little road trip with God. What happened? At the end of that 7 weeks, we said, "Hey, listen, what would you give outright or pledge over 3 years?" And those 300 people pledged or gave outright $1 million. Well, that's 300 people. They were already tithing. They're already supporting the church. They said, "In addition to the church, that we're going to give another $1 million. Guys, I have always described that as a miracle of generosity. Guess what happened as a result of trusting God? All of us trusting God. We saw God in a new way. That's exactly what happened. We saw that even if we sacrifice what he told us to sacrifice, he would continue to provide for us. Even if we did these things and maybe gave some things that we weren't planning on giving, yet he was willing to come alongside. "Hey, trust me. I'm going to move in your direction." Listen, how many of you were here during that 1999 Time to Build campaign? You said, "Yeah, we were part of that too." Just raise your hand right now. There are people all over the sanctuary. Didn't you get God revealed to you in a new way? Didn't you come away going, "Wow, God's a big God. Look what he can do in our lives. Wow." And now, as a result of those 300 people building this building, there are now 1,800 people here. And they're all saying, "Okay, God, where are we going? What do you want to do in our lives?" Listen, what happens is in our weakness, in our neediness, in our dependence, he reveals himself in greater and greater ways. Believe me, when we started the church in 1991, I in no way thought that I was sufficient to do it. And yet somehow, in just saying, "Okay, God, show me the next step." And our leadership doing the same thing. "Show us the next step." We just depended on him. And all of a sudden we saw God at work in new ways. See, God takes us on these trips. And he gives us what we need. All of us have seen this rocket shot exhaust the energy of its rocket. And just before it breaks free, or just after the Earth's gravity, and then the next stage kicks in. That's what it is with God. There's always the next stage kicking in when you give what you need to give and do what you need to do. He helps us in just that way. Listen, our Father today is saying, follow me. And if you'll follow me, you're going to experience a great big God, and you're going to experience outrageous joy, and you're going to be in trouble all the time, but you're going to see me at work. Well, what's better than that? You know, what's better than that, seeing God at work? What's better than moving in his direction? For generations, tens of thousands have followed his voice. They've said yes to the faith journey. They've followed him through servanthood. They've followed him through sacrificial giving, generosity. They follow them through pain and through joy. And through it all, they've experienced God. And it's our time. It's our turn to do that. Regardless of what's going on in our life, regardless of the limitations in our lives, let's respond to God with obedience, regardless of feelings, of circumstances, or consequences. Watch what God will do through that.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.